to Discover Health, where we help you take control of your health so you can transform your life. Your host, functional medicine expert, Dr. Trish Murray, is on a mission to help every baby boomer age with dignity and grace.
Hello, and welcome to today's podcast on cognitive decline. Why does it happen, and when does it start? You see, this topic is near and dear to my heart because my mom passed away at 86 years old from Alzheimer's disease and cognitive decline. She had six children after getting married at the age of 30. And so I was number five. And mom was, when I was in my 20s, mom was in her late 50s, early 60s. And she already at that relatively young age to me, because I'm 57 now, started to develop memory loss. And she went on to develop Alzheimer's, and we lost her long before she ever passed away at the age of 86, basically a vegetable in a bed. As we all know, people, if you know someone who has cognitive decline or Alzheimer's disease, then you know they lose their own history. They lose their personality, and they lose the ability to interact with family and friends. And some of the statistics around Alzheimer's disease are becoming shocking and devastating. It will affect 50% of people over 85 years old. It is presently the seventh leading cause of death. 10% of people 65 years of age or older have some form of cognitive decline. 25% in their seventh decade by 75 years old, that's one in four, have some form of cognitive decline. And 50%, folks, one out of every two people in their eighth decade, by the time we're 85, are estimated to have either Alzheimer's disease or some other form of cognitive decline. And this is just not right. So today I'm going to be focusing on the work by a neuroscientist and a physician by the name of Dr. Dale Bredesen, who's written a book called The End of Alzheimer's, the first program to prevent and reverse the cognitive decline of dementia. Dr. Bredesen has also created a protocol he calls the RECODE protocol, which I am certified in, and we do work with people who are interested in the RECODE protocol through Discover Health Functional Medicine Center. But today, I also want you to understand that one of the major themes that runs through Dr. Bredesen's work is that the problem of cognitive decline, folks, it's not in your head, it's in your body. And it's caused by many different factors that become unbalanced in us as we go through our lives. It could be due to an imbalance in the gut-brain connection, for example, which means you have unhealthy gut from possibly diet or stress or disease or infection. And that gut, such as the microbiome and the microbiota of bacteria, viruses, and fungus that we many times enter us because of how we eat, but not only just because of how we eat, are initiating problems between the gut and the brain. Another, of course, underlying cause of cognitive problems in many other chronic diseases is inflammation. Another is hormone-brain connection, such as many hormones being out of balance, estrogen, testosterone, cortisol, which is your stress hormone, and many others, such as insulin, related to someone's diet and how much sugar we ingest. So there's so many things that go into the possible underlying cause of the development of cognitive decline. And another one I would need to not miss mentioning is toxicity, such as heavy metals, or chronic infection, or toxins, folks, from the receipts you're handed at the grocery store because it's full of certain chemicals that are toxic to us. And the other thing I want to make sure we talk about today in this podcast is that you do not age and get into your fifth decade, sixth decade, seventh decade, eighth decade, and then all of a sudden catch cognitive decline. It's happening for many, 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 many years. Can I throw another many in there? Before you ever start to notice that your family or friends notice, or you notice that you can't quite calculate the numbers as much, or you can't remember people's names, or you can't remember why you walked into this room or that room, or you can't remember how to drive to your office. It didn't happen overnight. It happens over decades. And that's the thing we need to understand. So if you are suffering from a collection of symptomatology, such as depression or anxiety or mood swings, this should be a sign to you that there is something out of balance in your body, in your metabolism, in your hormones, and in your inflammation, possibly is too high. And it's causing your brain to show you signals that you're not functioning optimally. If you're feeling nervous and emotional more than you think you should be, if you're having brain fog, that is an early sign that there is degenerative processes and inflammatory imbalances or hormone imbalances going on that are affecting the optimal function of your brain. If you are not sleeping well, if you have insomnia, if you have hair loss or hair thinning, if you feel fatigued and tired and have lost your mojo, these are all signs. If you have bowel difficulties, irritable bowel syndrome with a mixture of either diarrhea or constipation and you never feel like you empty, if you have bloating, you've got to try and find a way to figure out why that's happening for you. You need to figure it out as soon as possible and now so that you can find an underlying cause, solve the problem, and therefore avoid future problems that are going to affect your brain more and more. Cold hands and cold feet, night sweats, chronic pain, all of these things, weight problems. If you're putting on weight, but you feel like you're eating like a bird, something is out of balance that's not just related to how much you're eating. So these are the things that if you're listening and you listen to that list of many, many different types of problems and symptoms, and you're realizing that you have numerous of the things I just listed off, then the point you have to understand is that you and many of us have become hypersensitive to our environment. And the unhappy, chaotic, disorganized, disengaged, forgetful brain is an imbalanced, inflamed, toxic brain. And you need to understand that these problems are a problem now. Don't put it off and wait and say, well, I'll figure that out when I'm retired. That's too late. You need to think about it now, because symptoms begin in the brain years, if not decades, before the diagnosis of cognitive decline or Alzheimer's disease is ever diagnosed. So now let's talk about why does it happen and what's really happening physiologically in the brain when we start to have brain fog and cognitive decline, and why is there an imbalance? Well, first of all, we have to talk about the fact that the brain is like a computer, and the brain has billions and billions of nerves, or another word for nerve would be a neuron. And those neurons have synapses with each other. A synapse means that one nerve is communicating chemically through little branches that are near each other, and they send chemicals across the branches through the synapses, these areas that where the chemicals that are communicating from neuron to neuron and nerve to nerve. And we need healthy synapses. If the synapses break down and the nerve, for example, dies because it's inflamed or toxic, then we are not going to have as many synapses. And there is a concept in science and in medicine around these two words, a blastic cell or a clastic concept. What I mean by that, if we use the word synapse, when we talk about a synoblastic situation, that means synoblasts are growing more synapses, they're healthy cells, and they're growing more branches to go talk with more nerves. So more communicating wires are being blastically grown in order to communicate and make our computer better. Synoclastic is the opposite. It means you're breaking down the wires. The wires are not working, and so they're dying off because they're not functioning normally. Now, all of life, folks, it's normal to have the appropriate balance between a building up of cells and a getting rid of old and dysfunctional cells. But you need to have a good balance between synoblastic situations where you're growing more and synoclastic where you're getting rid of the old. This is normal. For example, let's talk about bones. People are familiar with the concept of osteoporosis, where people lose more bone than they're growing. We are born, and by the time we're 30, approximately in our first three decades, grow bone more than we break bone down or degenerate bone or lose bone. So we have more osteoblastic cells that are creating bone than we do osteoclastic cells that are degenerating and breaking down bone. But when we turn, basically in our third decade, we start to reach our peak of bone development and we start to lose bone. So in our 50s, 60s, 70s, there are more osteoclasts breaking down bone than there are osteoblasts building bone. And so some people, unless we're doing something that causes our body to produce more bone and create more osteoblasts to make more cement, to make more bone, then there's more osteoclasts out of balance and breaking the bones down. And that's what leads to osteoporosis and osteopenia first, and then possibly osteoporosis. So that's an example in your bone system. But today, of course, we're not talking about our bones, we're talking about our brain cells and our neurons and our nervous system. But the same concept applies, that if you're having more synoblastic production, then you're growing more synapses, you're growing more cells, and your brain's going to remain healthy. If you have an imbalance and you're breaking down and you're having too much synoclastic behavior, then the nerve endings and the nerve synapses are depleting, degenerating, breaking down, and the neurons are dying. So this is the basic concept of cognitive decline, is that there's an imbalance and you're having too much synoclastic behavior where the synapses are breaking down and dying and creating, basically a synapse or a neuron can commit suicide. It just, old cells, if they're not functioning properly, are supposed to get a message to die off and commit suicide and go away because they're, if you will, in the way. And healthier cells are supposed to be taking their place. That's normal physiology. But again, folks, the whole concept is about balance. Is this in balance or is it out of balance? So now in Dr. Bredesen's book, The End of Alzheimer's, he really gets into some detail about explaining this concept in the neurological system of the brain. So I want to take a few minutes and go into the process he explains. So first of all, amyloid beta. You may have heard of amyloid beta in the cognitive decline world, and that it's been thought for a long time that amyloid beta causes the plaques that cause Alzheimer's disease, and plaques build up in the brain and break, and these plaques cause breakdown of nerves, breakdown of the synapses, and therefore breakdown of memories and breakdown of the function of the computer and the cognitive decline that comes with it. But what Dr. Bredesen has determined in his lab through over many, many decades of research is that there is a receptor. And in science, of course, all cells have receptors. That's again another way one cell will communicate with another cell, or where molecules that are floating around in our interstitial fluid will communicate with a cell and bind to a receptor. So there is this big receptor called an amyloid precursor protein. It's a very large receptor in the brain on neurons, nerve cells. It has as many as 695 amino acids, and amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. And receptors are proteins. They're structural pieces to a cell. So a nerve has these big receptors on it called, an amyloid precursor protein. And it's that receptor's job to have molecules bind with it and to either nurture it and feed it or to give it a signal to start to degenerate and die. So what Dr. Bredesen has explained is that the amyloid precursor protein receptors on nerve endings or neurons get, based on the molecules that bind with it, get messages. And if certain molecules bind to that receptor, it may break it, cause that receptor to be cut by another chemical called a protease, an enzyme in that will cause the protein to be broken into different fragments. So the receptor, the amyloid precursor protein, can be broken into multiple different fragments based on the signal it gets from molecules in our bloodstream or in our connective tissue or in the interstitial fluid that surrounds the cell. So, for example, if a certain molecule called the netrin-1, the N-E-T-R-I-N-1, netrin-1 molecule, binds to the amyloid precursor protein, then that molecule will send an anti-Alzheimer's message and a growth and nutritional message to the neuron, and the protein receptor will be broken in one place and break into two different fragments. And those two fragments, for those who want to understand and have the names of things, it's called a soluble amyloid precursor protein alpha and an alpha CTF. So you'll notice it's broken into two pieces. The amyloid precursor protein is broken at one spot and it's broken into two pieces. And these two pieces nourish the neuron for growth and health, and it blocks the message for the neuron to commit suicide, meaning it stays alive and it stays healthy. However, if a different molecule, and guess what? It's amyloid beta. If amyloid beta, which is a much smaller protein, and it's actually a piece of amyloid precursor protein receptor. So it's actually a small fragment of the receptor itself, that if that piece is broken off from amyloid precursor beta, I'm sorry, amyloid precursor protein, and it itself then goes back and binds to another amyloid precursor protein receptor, then that receptor will be cut and fragmented in three different places, creating four fragments. And those four fragments are called soluble amyloid precursor protein beta, a J-CASP, a C31, and the big problem, a fragment of amyloid beta. And if you break the amyloid precursor protein receptor, it gets the message from amyloid beta to break into four different fragments. This leads to a message to the neuron that causes a loss of the synapses that neuron is having with other nerves. And therefore, it causes a shriveling up of the part of the neuron that extends out to connect to other neurons. And it also activates neurons' suicide programming. So you'll notice that what I've explained is that you have this receptor, and it can, it's going to get messages from its world around it, its environment. And if the messages are positive and give a message to cause increased growth, then the fragment, the receptor will be cut in only one place and have two fragments. If amyloid beta has already been produced by the environment and that receptor has gotten a message to cut itself in three places, causing four fragments, and one of those fragments is amyloid beta, then what you notice is that's going to cause a synoclastic behavior, and it's pro-Alzheimer's. And you're going to produce more and more amyloid beta. The more amyloid beta exists, the more amyloid beta is going to bind to the receptor and cause it to cause its own suicide as a vicious cycle of degeneration. And Dr. Bredesen says that this is called a prionic loop, where there's a vicious cycle where a piece of the receptor itself breaks off, then goes and binds to other receptors and causes them to also break down into the wrong pathway. And again, a synoclastic pathway, where you're degenerative and breaking down synapses rather than growing more synapses. So if you're following this concept, then the bottom line is, how do we promote Netrin 1? How do we promote the molecules in our brain and in our environment of our fluids around our brain to promote synoblastic growth of our synapses and keep our computer healthy, rather than allow the computer to have cells that are breaking down and becoming synoclastic, fragmenting into four pieces, creating the amyloid beta, and then causing more and more of this vicious cycle? Well, the one thing to realize is that Dr. Bredesen has also found that there is not just one thing that is going to promote more Netrin 1 and less amyloid beta. It really, he talks about it as if you have a barn, let's say, and you're, as an analogy, and you look up at the barn's roof and you see only one hole in the roof. Well, okay, that you go up on the ladder, you go up to the roof, you close that one hole in the roof, and you're not going to have any more rain leaking into your barn. That's fine. You only had one hole. Well, the problem with cognitive decline, folks, and the problem with this synoblastic versus synoclastic balance is that Dr. Bredesen has found in his research that there are many, many different factors in our daily environment, in our own metabolism, in our own physiology, that can tip the person's, anyone's balance to a more synoclastic breakdown of synapses rather than a synoblastic building of synapses. And it's as if, for example, you live a lifestyle of the standard American diet that is pro-inflammatory and high sugar, and you're breaking down your gut lining, and you live a stressful life where you don't take time to take care of yourself, and you don't take time 5-10 minutes a day at the very least to quiet your mind and to quiet your being, and you don't exercise, and you don't drink enough water, then you're developing hormonal imbalances that may include estrogen, testosterone, thyroid, insulin, cortisol. All of these hormones could be out of balance. And each one of them would be a different hole in the roof of the barn. If you have inflammation in your system because, again, you drink too much sugar, or you have too much stress, or you partake in too much out of balance alcohol, let's say, or recreational drugs, or you don't get enough sunlight and you're not producing enough vitamin D, or you're not exercising, or like many of us, you're burning the candle at both ends and you're not getting enough restful sleep. So you'll notice every single one of these parts of our daily environment and the world we produce for ourselves represents a different hole if you're not taking care of it in your roof. He's talked about as many as 30 different factors in a person's hormonal and physiologic and metabolic life and lifestyle that are different holes in the roof, in his analogy. And if all these holes are open, then you're going to have a flood in your barn. And if that's the case, you'll notice that that's going to tip an imbalance in the molecules of your brain that are floating around in the cerebrospinal fluid that are going to bind to the receptor, the amyloid precursor protein, and it's going to give it that wrong message. And it's going to give it the message to become, it's going to give it a suicide message, basically, and tell it to break down. So to try and, you know, summarize this analogy, is that your amyloid precursor proteins are receptors on your nerve cells in your brain, and there are billions and billions and billions of them, and they act like, a different analogy is your chief financial officer of your company, let's say. And it looks at the, and it takes an inventory all the time of the income and the products that are available. And if there is not growth promoting, for example, hormones, vitamins, minerals, and nutrients to sustain and maintain the existing synapses and form new ones, if there's not production going on to produce new neurons with good hormones and good vitamins and good minerals in an anti-inflammatory state, then the financial officer, the amyloid precursor protein, is going to send out a downsizing memo to initiate the three cuts in itself rather than the one cut in itself, leading and producing a message for neuronal suicide and degeneration. And the other thing that's important to understand about this message and the brain is that the brain is very smart. It's going to also get rid of, if you will, last hired, first fired. In the business world, that analogy applies here as well. If the messaging, if you're not promoting an environment of growth and there's too much inflammation and there's too much cortisol and there's too many toxins and there's been trauma and that's not a productive state, then the brain is going to start and the amyloid precursor protein is going to be sending these messages in the four fragments and the amyloid beta is going to be growing. And it's going to be first fired. So what that means is that recent memories go first, older ones go next, and the oldest memories go last. So this is why, if you are familiar with someone in your family or friends that have had cognitive decline, and this is why we, for example, can't remember what we had for breakfast, but we remembered what we did when we were 25 years old. Or we always remember our children, but we don't remember who we met last week. Because again, recent memories go first, older ones go next, and the oldest ones go last. So this concept of last hired, first fired. The brain is smart. It doesn't feel it needs to hold on to what you ate for breakfast this morning, but it does need to remember, you know, how to walk around the house you live in, for example. So this is just groundbreaking information. And Dr. Dale Bredesen is on the cutting edge of this, folks. And again, he has developed a program that he calls the RECODE program. RECODE protocol. And if you just Google that, RECODE protocol and Dr. Dale Bredesen, or you can go to my website, discoverhealthfmc.com, and we have information about the RECODE protocol and the fact that I am a certified provider within the RECODE protocol. So I hope this podcast today has helped. This is near and dear to my heart, and I am doing and walking the walk and learning everything I can to avoid developing what my mom suffered with. So I hope this has helped and talk with you on the next podcast.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the episode and the Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, visit us on our website, discoverhealthfmc.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will join us again next time so you can truly live and play as long as you want.